You may be seated, and if you would open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. How you process information, how you speak to a crowd. Sometimes I don't stare at you because I have nothing better to do. A lot of times it's just processing the information. And some of you are better at looking up here than others. So don't take it personal. I remember when Reverend Palma, when I first started coming here, and Reverend Palma would come and do pulpit supply. And I was like, why is he looking at me? Like, does he know all my sins or what's going on here? So do not take it that way. I'm Elder Mark. I'm not the pastor here just filling in because Reverend Monivi, again, his wife is in labor at this very, very moment. So just filling in. We'll look at Ephesians 1 starting at verse 15. We'll read from 15 to 21. Hear the word of the living God. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Let us thank God in prayer for His word. Father, we thank You for instructing us through your word. And we pray that I may be able to bring some understanding to this word by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you in Christ Jesus. Amen. So what do you pray for a people that have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? Right? Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Right? Every, not some, not many, not the majority, but He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. What do you pray for them? They have everything. Right? What do you pray for a people that have been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world? People that have been predestined for adoption. People who are blessed in the Beloved. People who have been redeemed by His blood. People who have been sealed with the Spirit. People who have obtained an inheritance. What do you pray for such a people? What else do they need? Well, we read here how the Apostle Paul prayed. 1:17, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And with this, Paul, maybe it may shock us or surprise us, because we tend to assume when you become a Christian, the rest of the Christian life is discipleship. You become a Christian and then you learn to walk in the right way. Well, yeah, that's true, but it's not what the Apostle Paul prays for. He prays for knowledge, the knowledge of God. This is what the Apostle prays for all these young Christians in Ephesus. And maybe sometimes many of the troubles that we have in the Christian life come from that lack of knowledge. We don't have a sufficiently God-centered, gospel-shaped perspective. And without that perspective, our faith can be stunted. We fail to rejoice always, but we would if we had that knowledge. And so we fret like the rest of the world. We forget just how supremely blessed and cared for we are by a mighty, omnipotent, loving Heavenly Father. And so his chief concern for Christians is that they might grow in the knowledge of God. And that is what the Apostle Paul prays for, that we might grow in the knowledge of God. Because Christianity is not primarily about lifestyle change. It's primarily about knowing Him. And if we know Him, that will work itself out in lifestyle change. To know and to grow and enjoy Him, that's what we're saved for. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing Him is eternal life. The chief purpose of our salvation is for us to know and worship His glory. Knowing Him is how we change to be like Him. We don't grow in holiness and Christ-likeness primarily by going on a moral treadmill. No, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. One person put it as, beholding is becoming. Beholding is becoming. What you look at, what you observe, you become like that. And as you know, as a school teacher, it's kind of interesting to see that. And I see certain kids get angry and they have certain movements. And it's like, I never saw that before. I never saw that moment, that movement like that when you're angry, but you pick that up from the rappers because you've been beholding them, you're beholding them, and then you become like them. So we need to behold God, and when we behold Him, it's knowing Him that changes us. Moses reflected the glory of the Lord as he conversed with the Lord. So we are transformed primarily by beholding Him. And do you notice how Paul describes the God he wants us to know? Look at the description, Ephesians 1:17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He asked God to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the Father of glory. This is the one we are called to know. It's nothing like the boring deities of people's imaginations. He is a Father. So blessedly, happily, full of life, love, grace, righteousness, holiness, that He generates glory. He is an over fountain of glory. And Paul wants us to know not just the blessings of being redeemed, he wants us to know Him. We talked about that in the Sunday school this morning, so if you missed the Sunday school, You missed that exact topic. Not just the blessings, but to know Him. And that has always been the highest and purest desire of the saints. Remember Moses at Mount Sinai? Moses had seen all the mighty acts of God in delivering them from Egypt. He had eaten bread from heaven. He was on his way to a land flowing with milk and honey. And yet he said, "Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here." Moses would rather be with God than to be in the promised land without him. And then he presses even further and says, "Lord, please show me your glory." And is that, I guess we can ask ourselves, is that the knowledge we have of God? Is our knowledge of God greater, richer, deeper than it was a year ago? Or do we grow content with what we know? We know more than the non-Christians. We know more than non-Reformed folk. But can we grow complacent? Look at verse 18. The knowledge of God means having the eyes of your understanding enlightened. It's not a mere intellectual knowledge, acceptance of certain truths. The devils have that kind of knowledge and they shudder. No, this is a wondering, adoring kind of knowledge. The opposite of this knowledge is not mere ignorance. It's hatred of God. It's a mind that is hostile to God. The author of Hebrews, he warned, "Take care, brothers, lest there be among you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." For this knowledge involves more than, not less than, but more than the mind. Just as unbelief flows from a hostility of heart that is averse to the truth, not just ignorant, but averse. Just so faith flows from a heart that has been turned to adore God, to cherish, to trust. Because the eyes of your understanding have been enlightened, to understand, to see that He is delightful, beautiful, wonderful. I mean, you can take one word when He says, like, to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Rome. You know how much has been done for a saint? You know what God had to do to make a saint? Before, I would just read that kind of like just a little introduction and then get on with the meat of it. But then not realizing that little introduction is going to be explained in the rest of the letter. So when he says to the saints in Ephesus, to understand what he has done for his people to make us a saint, that's wonderful. What a God we have. The God we are called to know is not a formula. It's not just the truth. He's the Father of glory. He is the one who is so overwhelming in His holy loveliness that when people encounter Him in the Scriptures, that their knees buckle, contrary to all the other popular Christian books that we read. I don't think I've ever read, or even, I guess I haven't read any of them. Read a little synopsis, and never do you find someone saying, "I saw God, and I fell down to the ground as dead." That's what you read every time you read someone encountering God in the Scriptures. Moses cried, "Show me your glory." Is that our desire? Or maybe we can put it another way. Do we find we are able to pray to God for an hour? If not, why not? You're able to speak to friends for hours on end. I am. So why would we find it difficult to speak to God for an hour? Is there only one answer because we don't know him well enough? If that is us, then we could pray for ourselves that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Maybe hearing such things can make us feel a little deflated. Glory has that effect. We're humbled in the light of his glory. In the light of his glory, we begin to realize just what a mess, how puny we are. We may think, I occasionally have some sense of the glory of God, that God is fascinating. But in the light of his glory, my wretchedness, my sinfulness is exposed, and I feel like I don't belong there. And so maybe we can shrink from him. But look at how Paul goes on. Ephesians 1:18 and 19, he says that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? And again, I think we passed the test even at the beginning of that section, 1:15, because he says that therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, right? We passed that test as believing Christians. We have faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, right? Lord willing, we pass that test and we confess when we don't. So he's talking about people like you and me. Even if you have a weak faith, then know the hope to which he has called you. And know the immeasurable greatness of his power towards you. And we might ask, what power towards me? We could be thinking, I could understand that God would exert power for some of the other people in this room. But could God really take one who is so frail and so stumbling as me and raise even me to glory? Or is it that I am the one in here that is just too sinful for him? I'm spiritually messed up beyond his help. No, the power that he works toward us is the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. What he wants us to see is the Father of glory did not merely resuscitate Jesus when he was a bit tired, but he raised him from the dead. And just so, he doesn't just throw out a little assistance to those who try hard enough. No, the very fact that we have any faith at all is the first working in you of the God who raises the dead. And just as he did not leave Jesus half resuscitated, he will not leave us. Luther wrote, I really like this quote from Martin Luther. He says, the love of God doesn't find, it creates that which is pleasing to it. The love of God doesn't find, it creates that which is pleasing to it. The love of God, rather than seeking good, flows forth and bestows good. So our hope does not lie in our own strength, but in the immeasurable greatness of his power and in the historical resurrection of Jesus Christ, raising him from the tomb far above all rule and authority. Right there is positive proof that there is nothing too hard for the Lord, that with him nothing should be impossible. His salvation is all of him, and this great might of God's power is working itself even in stumbling Christians who have faith in the Lord Jesus and love toward all the saints. It's working itself in us to overcome every obstacle. So if you're a struggling Christian who knows his weakness, understands our sinfulness, we know one thing, his power is infinitely greater than all of our weakness. There is no power that can withstand him. Every rule and authority, every power and dominion, every name that is named, sin, death, hell, they have all been subjected to him. And all the immeasurable greatness of the divine power that raised Jesus from the dead is now wielded toward us to keep us safe to the hope which he has called us. If you're a person like me, that is a big relief. Seeing how God wields his power to save sinners who deserve nothing but his judgment shows us something about God, the God we are to know. Things we would never have dreamed of. And it is this, it is his glory to raise the dead. I mean, he talks about that, right, in Ephesians 2:1. It is his glory to save sinners to the uttermost. Not because they are in any way worthy, but because of his kindness. Overflowing with life and grace and mercy, that's his glory. When you appreciate just how majestically compassionate that God has been in blessing us in Christ with every spiritual blessing and making us alive and guarding us invincibly for glory, when we see this, this is when the eyes of our heart are enlightened and we gain true knowledge of him. He's the Father of glory, so radiantly beautiful in his loving, holy kindness. Our heart rejoices in him, and that is how we grow in the knowledge of him through the gospel of his mercy. So what does it look like when our eyes are enlightened? What is it like to know Christ, to know through Christ the Father of glory? That's the knowledge we should press into. This is what we, as Paul did, should pray for ourselves and other Christians. For then under the radiance of his glory, we should not be so drawn to man-centered, therapeutic religion. We will not want to establish our own little empires. Our tiny achievements will seem petty. Our little feuds will stink. He will loom large, making us bold to please God and not men. Then when we see clearly the Father of glory, then we will not stammer with the gospel. Then aware of our own redemption, we will share his own gentleness and meekness, not breaking a bruised reed. Bold, courageous, and yet gentle and humble like him. And the radiance of his glory will make us quick to serve. When have you seen God's glory most clearly? When have you seen God's glory most clearly? I hate to, I hate, hate to say these things because I don't want to demean any occupation. But when you see his glory, you're willing to take the lowest spot that exists, the most menial task, and we'll be able to say, what a blessing that I get to serve God's people in this capacity. We'll be quick to bless, quick to repent, quick to laugh at ourselves. For it's not ourselves, but it's Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding that we could even have a beginning of knowing who you are. Father, we thank you for your great salvation. We thank you for the patience that you have with us. We thank you for bearing with us as we stumble and fall. We thank you for being a father that is quick to forgive and teach us where righteousness can be truly found. We thank you for being a father that shows us where glory is to be found. It is to be found in you, in no other. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.